You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to part two of our comic shop talk here at We Can Be Heroes with all of our friends here that you tuned into last time. I don't think I will see every cover of every comic before I die.
No, it's impossible.
Will. I just don't think it's possible.
Maybe certain series runner, too, sure.
Maybe guys that like that work at CGC, they get millions of books coming in there.
Maybe, but I bet you they still haven't seen everything. Yeah. You know, comic books, they were just so...
That's no longer, you know, it's not even in existence anymore.
But the great thing about the shop is this, is that there's books like, for instance, First Shang-Chi, right? Mm-hmm. I never had one in my hand, but, you know, Shot, you know, was a smart guy.
The sensational one.
Yeah, picked a bunch of them up, and he brings it in, I get to see it. So I don't necessarily have to buy the book all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want a book.
Touch it.
I get to see it. And then every now and again, there's a book you're really looking for, and one of the community guys come and say,
oh, yeah.
I can get that for you. You're just like this ASM 300, I always wanted to pick up a new one, and Shot was able to facilitate that. And that's what makes the community so great, is that the team, when they're working together, can do good things.
No, we actually have customers that pick stuff up for us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Kane Korea, for one. He's one of the thing about it is his name is Andy, but we call everybody by their Instagram handle.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is called by their Instagram handle. It's crazy. He has a community that, like, he knows I love Ninja Turtles. And
he does also, though.
Yeah, he does. He's got a...
Well, he doesn't part with anything he doesn't have duplicates of, right?
Right.
So whatever he brings you, you know, he's got two or three because he's bringing
it. Or he'll call and say, hey, I'm going to pick this up for you. Do you need this? They have this here. And there's JR who does the same thing. You do the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of people in here. Not just the core guys, but there's a lot of customers looking out for everybody.
That's nice when someone looks out for somebody else.
Yeah, Art always brings the G.I. Joes for Julio.
He knows he has a giant sucker.
Yeah. The sensational one hooked me up with the first cameo appearance of Gambit a couple years ago for my birthday, so I'm very thankful for that.
You got hooked up, Mr. Sitting really far away from for the second appearance of Gambit or first cameo?
First cameo.
Annual. Okay. Annual one. I remember that.
Yeah, he was nice enough to get that to me.
I looked through that. He's in it.
He doesn't say anything.
Like his hand and then part of his face.
His face is in it, but they said because he doesn't say a word in the book, it's not his first appearance.
That's another thing that really kind of creases my pages.
Creases my pages, yeah.
Yeah, the 180-181 thing. Yep. Like,
or Oracle on the phone.
Yeah.
This is Oracle.
Yeah, or so Darkseid, like, for example.
He was pink.
Pink Side? Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, he's on a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's considered his first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But in Hulk 180, it's a full page of Wolverine, and he talks.
Doesn't he say I'm the Wolverine?
Yes. Yeah,
he does.
That's his first cameo appearance, is what they're saying. So
no.
And people are trying to push that to be the thing. In other words, they're trying to
but it's really just CGC, though.
It's not. It's Overstreet. Overstreet.
But so it's like, which is it? You know, like
it's
you
whatever
can't
they have the most of in their box.
But
if you look at older Overstreets, you will see that they all say the same thing. I think the earliest Overstreet that has 181, where Wolverine actually became a cultural presence, it says that 180 is the first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently, the 181 became they switched it to cameo, and then full first full appearance.
Mm.
And so I think the market wants 181. The market's always wanted 181 because he's on the cover.
Right.
It's iconic. Cover.
And then 182 is basically second appearance, considered second appearance.
But he's on there for one page.
It's a recap.
So
it's
in like that in that argument then, so Amazing, what was it? What's that book? Amazing
The Heroes 45?
Yeah, Amazing Heroes 45.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Heroes 45 has the first appearance in print of all four Ninja Turtles, mm-hmm. right?
Not Gobbledygook?
No.
No, no.
As well as one of the first appearances of the Black Suit Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right. Why isn't that then considered canon to be the first appearance of the Ninja Turtles?
I think it's because it's an ad. But the thing about that book, what I love is that is that with time going on with Ninja Turtles number one getting out of hand and price and people can't afford it.
By the way, all the prints at this point.
Yeah, second, third print, even the fifth print.
Fifth print, exactly.
Are out of hand. You look to other things that people are going to start getting. Like second appearances right now and third appearances are getting, they're blowing up. So they did this thing with the Miles Morales, the previews book, which was the first image, full image of him.
Yeah, first it was previews 95, now 94 is now.
So everybody went crazy. So people started looking for all those little things. And Amazing Heroes 45 is technically the first time you see the Turtles. It's an ad, but it is in there. And it counts if they're going to count those. And
if they count Malibu Sun for a Spawn. Yeah,
exactly. That book is heating up like crazy right now, too.
All you have to do is ask Peter Eastman, what was the first...
No, it's Kevin.
Kevin and Peter Laird. What's the first time you put this in print? And he'll tell you, the first time I ever drew the Turtles to be printed on a book was this book. Right? Wouldn't you think that would be what you would do?
Yeah, but I mean...
Because he should be able to tell you, the first time I ever drew a turtle that went in a printed magazine or a comic book or whatever was this book.
Right.
Because the first four turtle books weren't really considered comics, they're considered magazines.
It was an ad for it in Gobbledygook. The problem with Gobbledygook is that it was printed on paper in a garage.
Right.
And you can duplicate it yourself. You just find the right type of paper and you can make one yourself.
There's so many phony ones out
right. there. And so that is the official first appearance. But for the fact that it's counterfeited so many times, they took that away from it and made Ninja Turtles number one the first appearance of the Turtles.
Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Which, isn't there in the back pages the first image that Laird drew of the Turtles?
Mm-hmm.
That weird, where they look like old men?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely when I remember looking at it the very first time when I was a kid, and I wasn't even that young. Looking at it, this is strange. It's weird. The art is weird, but now I look at it now and I'm like, dude, this stuff is so amazing, how detailed it is and how crazy it all looks. And I love it. I pick anything up that the guy does.
So here's a good thing to ask. So, you know, I do spend a lot of time in shops, right? I go to many shops to pick up books. Sometimes I try my best to bring books for people at the shop here when they need them. And I've run into a lot of, comic book owner Karens, right? Who you walk in the shop and I'm picking up, you know, one or two copies of whatever. I want to read one and I want to keep one, you know, in pristine. And you know, they get out of hand. Oh, you're a flipper. Oh, you're this and oh, you're that. And how do you feel when someone comes in, you know, 2 days after New Comic Book Day and you have 20 copies on the table you haven't sold and they want to take all 20? You know, how do you feel about that? Do you like, look, everyone had the opportunity to come in. No one came in. I don't want to sit and hold the books forever.
Right.
So if someone wants to buy them, I'll sell it to them. Or do you feel the other way where, no, I'm only going to make them buy one?
If some guy comes in and I got 25 copies of something on the table and no one's picked it up on Wednesday and he's dying to pick up all of them, I'm going to ask him why.
Yeah.
And then I'll sell it to him.
Of course, yeah. That's a good question.
Because... Like, wait a minute. Why you want them? Tell me, and then I'll sell them to you.
I love that. Kevin and I have been down this road multiple times where we'll go up to a booth at a comic convention.
Oh, yes.
And I'll say, do you have this issue? And the guy will look for it, you know, or Kevin would ask him, and the guy would look for it, and he pulls it out. He's like, "Yeah, it's right here." He's like, "Why? Is it important for some reason?"
Yes,
before he hands it over to Kevin.
And I was like, "Oh no, it's just I was trying to complete a set." And of course, it was First Eternity.
right, because you want to sell, like you want to get a book at a good deal. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take advantage of the situation, but you also, if you've done your homework.
Right,
and that person hasn't, and they have that book, and they're selling it for the price they're selling it for. They should be happy with the price that they sold it for,
right?
Because that's what they wanted originally, and you should be happy because you got a book that you wanted because you know something,
right?
And you know that it's going
to
be worth
more
money. No,
if you're doing
someday.
Your research, man, more power to you.
If I show up to a shop, if I show up for a sale, whether I sell it to We Could Be Heroes or I'm at a you know whatever sale, and I have a short box of books that I pre-priced, and someone says, "I'll take all the books at what you listed it for," I'm going to sell it to them. Because I came with an idea that I wanted to make $2,000, and guys gave me $2,000. If he then takes that box after I buy it and tells me, can I borrow your table, and sets up the same box and sells it for $4,000, I don't care. I got my money out of it, whether he makes more on it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like if I sell it to him for $2,000 and he sells it to Julio for $1,000, he loses $1,000. I don't care either way. Mm. Once he's giving me my money, they are now his books. What he does with the books is his decision. Mm. And I think some bad comic book owners, you know, Galaxy Comics, you come in the store. They're rude. First of all, they're rude to you when you walk in the door. They're not helpful. Like, you go in and say, I bring him 20 books to the counter to buy, all different kind of books that I'm buying. I'm spending $150. And he goes, do you want bag and boards? I go, sure, I'll take some bag and boards. And he points to me down the road and says, they're right there. Go ahead and grab them and bag your boards. Bag your books, right? Wow.
I bag everybody's books. The only person I don't bag books I don't bag your books?
No,
that's not true.
It's true.
Darcy asked me for his bag. Oh, you do? You bag your own?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will hand them the bags and the boards.
So, and then, you know,
but everybody a bag.
You go there, and there's other things I won't go into with that shop, but it's not a sense of a community. He's a retail store that's selling retail stuff.
Does he charge you for plastic?
And I think you do. It's probably the other person that does.
You were charging 35 cents.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, per. So that's the thing. You pay 35 cents for each bag and board. You have to get them yourself, right? Which, I mean, I'm not crippled. I can get them myself. But if you're a store owner and you want, and then, you know, and then when you want to try to get, and then you go and you ask him, do you happen to have this book? And he's like, do you have a pull list for me? And I'm like, well, no. He's like, well, then you're not getting that book.
Whoa.
Right? And I'm like, oh, do you have any?
The answer is not that.
Right.
You know, the answer is, like, we have a pull list and we're trying to accommodate them. And if somebody in the pull list doesn't want it, it'll be here tomorrow, I'll take your name and number down.
Just a situation we had here a couple weeks ago.
Certain shop owners come in and they make you feel like you're out to fleece them. Right. You're out to get them because you want a book and they have it and you want. If I go to a shop, there's a certain shop down in San Diego I will never shop at again.
Hmm.
And for the particular reason, I went down there the day of a book's release and they had it on the shelf. Or not even on the shelf. They had it in the back behind the counter. And it's a $4 book, and they were charging $25 for it. It just came out.
It's funny you mentioned that.
It's a $4 book.
The same shop that you just mentioned, when Last Ronin 1 came out, I went in there on day one, and same thing. We're charging like $20 for it. And by the way, there was no hesitation. It was like, we're selling it for $20. I'm like, okay.
No, but I'll give you the worst. Okay, so last year, there was a... Free Comic Book Day, of course, and then they had the Local Comic Book Day, was, you know, a little bit after. Local Comic Book Day, they usually have books that they release specifically for local comic books. They have a little stamp on the back to, you know, support your local comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had this, I think that 6 different books came out, and I go into the shop, and I'm asking, like, sure, well, what's going to happen is you're going to give me $20, and I'm going to give you a raffle ticket. I am then going to pull numbers out of a hat, and if you win the raffle, you can then buy one of these books. And I'm like, wait a minute, so I'm gonna pay $20.
Interesting.
No shit.
Yeah. And if I don't win the raffle,
what do I get?
You don't get anything. You're paying $20 to have the right to pay the $4 for the book. I'm not charging you. I'm not.
You don't even get the book for free.
No.
Wow.
But the books are never free. The books are always at a charge.
That is some scam schema.
What he's saying is
that's.
Did anybody do it?
I don't know. I literally had books in my hand. This is the second time, right? I literally had books in my hand, and when I heard that, I said, "Here you go." He goes, you gonna take? I'm not taking those. Just like the last time I went down there, I decided to give him one more chance because Julio asked me to go down there, and I went down and gave him one more shot to get something. And he treated my sons, you know, really poorly, you know. And I asked him a question, you know, about a book. I said, "Do you happen to have ENIAC number 2, and he says, is it on your pull list? And I said, I'm on a pull list. Then you're not getting it.
Whoa.
But, like, really rude. Like, really
rude.
About it. Right. But I was like, no, I'm not, if you don't have it available, that's fine. I'm okay with it. I was just asking if you happen to have an extra one, I'll take it. And he was kind of rude, and I just went on my way. I picked up three Hulk books from me and my two boys. And I had a $100 bill to pay with. And he was like, I can't break that. It's too early in the morning. I can't break that. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said, okay, well, I can pay for my son's books. And this book, and I was pulling a book off his wall, but it was like $100. And then I should be like, cover it all. He said, okay. So I walk up and I hand him the three books. And he says, you need to choose one of these three books. I go, why? Well, they're three of the same books. It's one per customer. Can't you read? I go, look, it's me and my two sons. Oh, no, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to flip these books. I'm like, they both had them in their hands. And you told me you couldn't break the hundreds. I said, I'm going to get these books so that I can help you out break the $100 bill. Mm-hmm. And he went on, and he was shrugging his shoulders. And at some point, my kids are looking at me, looking at him, and I just, you know what? I don't need your shit. Gave him back his books. He was, you're not going to take this? No, I'm not taking these. And I won't go back in there. And that's the hard part about the comic book community is that you'll see people on YouTube and Instagram talk bad about how comic book owners are kind of assholes. But it's not all of them. It's just there's
certain ones.
Especially during COVID. I've seen COVID seem to produce certain type of behavior like this, where you're fleecing customers, behaving that way. It's very
unfortunate. I think, yeah, like overinflating of prices and creating the market to...
That's a tradition that's existed forever. We won't do it here. The way we do the things around here is a little different. I did everything I possibly could to get rid of all the things I hated as a kid going to the comic book shop. Mm-hmm. There's no counters that have, there's a counter and then there's a wall of comic books behind it. You can walk up directly to the wall and pick up the book you want. If they're extremely valuable, they're in glass cases.
Right.
But there's no locks on those cases, you know what I mean? As far as like when books come into the store and they're hot, the pull list gets priority to it. But I will not sell a book for $25 a day that it comes out.
Right.
The next day, if there's left over, good for me, because then I can sell one for $10 or $20.
On day one, you're not gonna pull it.
No, I know, because I hated that. I mean, one of the worst things that ever happened to me, which I remember, I'll never forget. I was in Portland, Oregon, and I'm not gonna pull a Raphael and mention the shop. But I'm there, I had my own shop at the time, another shop, Chamber of Comics back in the day, and I went to visit my brother in Portland. And I'm driving around Portland in the morning, going to go get coffee, and I hear on the radio that Captain America has died. And I'm like, what? I'm like, they killed Cap? And I called the shop. And they're like, we didn't order that many because nobody was reading Cap at the time. And it, by the way, you should read it. It was the Brubaker run. Everybody should read it. It's really good.
Great run.
Yeah, and I think I had ordered five. Mm. And there was four people that got it and myself. And so they got it in their pull list. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'm not going to be at my shop for 5 days. I need to get this book now and see what the hell happened because no one knew. So I drove to the comic book shop, and I was driving around getting coffee. It was like 9:30 in the morning. The shop opened 10 o'clock. I waited like 10 minutes outside, and I went in the shop, and I said, hi, I'm here to get Captain America 25. And the guy goes, yeah, $20. And I'm like, excuse me? And he's like, yeah. We have a couple left. They're $20 each. I'm like, did it just open? It just opened. It's Wednesday. And he's like, yeah, that's where we're selling him at $20. I'm like, damn you, man, really? Are you serious? And I bought it. I gave him his $20. I was pissed, though, and I said, you could just,
did
you know
give
what?
Did you give him a bad Yelp review after that?
He was
Yelp
like $20.
That's
and,
the one thing I think,
and you gotta
I wish
touch
it could be changed. I wish that's one thing that could be more regulated, where they say, look, a book, like, you know, bad idea. New comic book company just came out. Mm-hmm. Are making comic book owners who buy their books or to sell. Mm-hmm. They make them for the first 2 weeks that the book comes out, they must sell it at the cover price, mm-hmm. and they can't sell anyone more than one, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's something that comic book shops should be kind of forced to do. When a book comes out, you have to sell it at cover mm-hmm. for the first week or whatever, and then you can sell it whatever you want, but you have to sell it at cover. I think that's the only fair thing to do. I'm not saying it would ever be done. And how you could really, you know, maintain order in that way. But I think, you know, Julio or Donald or myself go in the shop and we're investing in a book. Most likely we're buying a book. If it's really hot or there's something big coming up, we're going to invest in it. Mm. But there's a kid out there who just wants to read Captain America mm-hmm. or just wants to read Ninja Turtles. And he's not buying a book as spec.
His mother can't afford.
Right?
Yeah. I had one in my shop waiting for me. I am a fan. I want to read what's happening. It's not like the story was leading that he was going to die. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was this big surprise.
Right. Yeah, they had that plan. I remember when I was a kid and I was standing out in line at my local comic shop, Grackle Flint Comics in Dover, Ohio. And they had Death of Superman, which is Superman 75, right?
Was it the white poly bag? Is it the white poly bag one?
No, that's the black poly bag. They had the black poly bag, which was the first print, and then they had second print newsstand ones. So the black poly bag, the day that they came out, they said, we did not get many. They opened the door, and they said the black poly bag ones were selling for $10 each, and the newsstand ones are $5. So I looked at my dad, and I'm like, you know, like, Dad, please. Hmm. And he's like, newsstand.
So. Wait, wouldn't that be worth more today?
No.
Was direct worth more back then?
Yeah.
Like the third print, I think, is more rare.
First print.
So there's a fourth print.
First print, yeah. Newsstand would be worth more than, because it's more permanent. But the fifth or sixth.
Yeah, something like that.
They had a Costco. They had a Costco one.
Yeah, so I naturally then got the second print for $5, and I was happy as hell to get it. And I read it, and that's what made me fall more in love with comic books, like with collecting and wanting to collect Superman comics. Then, was that whole thing. Now I had his death. What happened next? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
You got to get the book.
So I then did not know that I would fall into this goddamn hellhole of 75 Superman comic books within the next 3 months. Because they had four different titles that all intertwined with each other in one shot. Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
my dad was paying for it.
Yeah, my dad did not know. And I bet if he had known, he'd have been like, we're just going to leave. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you what happens. I'll ask somebody. They can read the story to us over the phone. Whatever you want, son. But it's just, we're not buying all these books.
So this leads to another question, right? Yeah. And I think this table is really good at answering this question. But think about this, okay? Would you have considered, if they had it back then, reading the digital version? Like I hear all these people that tell me digital comics, yeah. and to me, if comics went digital, I probably wouldn't really read them. I do like to read my books. I do like to read the story, but I like to have it in my hand.
Yeah, the tactile.
You know.
I don't know. Like if I had just started collecting, which I had at that point, I might have been okay with just the digital format if. The digital format was free,
but you would still collect, but you would use the digital format to read.
I'm saying
either or.
I might.
Your choice is either or. Either then, digital only.
Then or probably collect. Digital for me because I didn't have a lot of money.
Well, no, but I mean let's take the money equation out of it. It's more down the line of me is DC has been talking widely in open forum that they're planning to take. The entire DC.
You mean DC, which is owned by AT&T, which sells cell phones and tablets.
HBO Max.
Well, they don't want to. They don't want to be in the
comic game anymore.
Well, not comic game, but they want the printing game. They want to have this guy still published. They want to continue the art of the comics and all that, but they don't want to.
But that's going to be the death of comics. Yeah, you can't go to the goddamn museum like and not want to see a Mona Lisa. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to go come to the museum and then you can look on your phone at all the pretty paintings that we've digitally created.
They can do it and it could be a service to fans at the same time.
In a conjunction with books.
Like. Yeah. There are certain titles that don't sell very well for them. But people love those titles. There's a group of people that love it. Mm-hmm. You can continue that run digitally.
Right.
And those people are not going to care. They're going to be like, I still get my book. You know, I still get to read it. And then the ones that do sell, they should print. You know, I mean,
So basically, DC's going to have just all Batman. Printed,
right?
Pretty much, it'll be Batman and Superman.
Teen Titans has done really well.
Batman and Wonder Woman. Batman joins the Teen Titans. Batman. You know, if you look at their animated series, every animated movie that they've pushed out, 99% of them are Batman. 99%,
motherfucker,
because
man.
He's the selling point. But even Superman can't sell animated stuff.
Here's my thing: you can cater to both. You can do digital, so people can read it who are. you know, I guess you could say the millennials, people who want to just have it with them everywhere they go.
Like, I tried my phone, I can't do it. iPad.
But to me, there's something about having that book in your hand.
Yeah, and not just the smell of the book.
It's not even that.
You're right.
It's,
I have not smelled the book.
It's, it's almost a thing where like...
Gotta check up for mildew.
Like, every Wednesday, I get up in the morning, and my first thought is, new comic book day. I, you know,
is that your wife in the morning?
No.
Wow.
I've been married 26 years. Trust me. You know, I know she's there, and I love her to death. But every Wednesday...
She's still breathing.
Check the pulse. Okay,
I wake up.
Where's my comics?
I go to the kitchen. I hear two doors open, and both my sons say, Dad, you ready? You know what day it is, eh? So it's an excitement.
How old are your kids?
My oldest son is 24, and my youngest one's 19. But they've been collecting for maybe like 4 years now.
Oh, okay.
And the funny part is it's totally different. One of them collects Vampirilla, Red Sonja, you know, big booby chick covers.
Yeah.
And my youngest son collects anything alien or sci-fi.
That's cool.
Okay. And I pick up, you know, Amazing Spider-Man.
Superhero stuff, yeah.
And my sons will be like, boring. Like, I pulled out the first Punisher, 129. I showed my boys, like, Dad's an old comic. Big deal. Right? And I said, you know what this is?
It's history.
Piece it's the first Punisher.
It's a piece of history.
And he was like, Dad, but that's not the Punisher I know of. They know the new, more mature, killing Punisher guy. Not the superhero, but the, what was that last book they did for Punisher?
Jeez, I don't know.
It's like one of the run where he's like, it's really graphic. More, it's like,
graphic.
Yeah. Wait, you're talking about like the Garth Ennis run?
Yeah, that's
like one of my favorite things to read.
Yeah.
And then my youngest son is into anything like, you know, zombie, you know, aliens, stuff like that, right? So fun stuff. So yeah. I mean, so you look at it as you know, it's you know, everyone has a different way of collecting, and I think digital, there's a market for digital. There's a market for digital.
I believe so. I mean, the kids like I can't do it. I can't do the digital.
Well, here's the thing.
I've tried it.
Like,
think about it also in terms of formatting too. Like the way the product is delivered. If you speak with people who enjoy manga, they're not reading any, which is the biggest actual printed market out there.
That's true.
Currently, and they want, you know, like collections. You know, they don't want like 22-page pamphlet.
They want
a trade or a collection or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably more speaks to what the market is going to need to move towards if they want to expand on the physical product.
I agree.
Because my nephew, like, you're right. Yeah. My nephew only collects
genre too. Because as your kids are evident of, it's not only about superheroes anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, so like you're saying like the graphic novel then is going to be the first appearance of characters.
No, not necessarily. But I think that will be the way that people are getting in and collect the collector.
Well, a lot of guys like you mentioned that Walking Dead, the trade paperback. That's how I was got into it because for obvious reasons it was easier. So I would be able to collect all the different.
Same here. That's how I started reading.
Even the graphic novel collector is becoming parallel to the comic book collector.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Because a lot of people buy the graphic novels because they take up less room than the comic books.
Like my nephew, all he collects is. All he buys is Omnibus.
Right.
I mean, that's all he's got. His whole room is just wall-to-wall Omnibus because he wants to read the whole story.
Now you have graphic novel and Omnibus speculators, too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Ask that question, right, about out-of-print books.
If you're looking at, like a run, for example, for Invincible, I did not read Invincible when it first came out. Same thing with Chew. Did not read those when it first came out. I'm not going to try to go back and buy every single issue so I can read it. I'm just not going to do it. And I don't want to do it with the trades either because I don't want to spend the money because I don't know, first of all, if I'm going to like it. So what I did was I got the library app for the library for their digital. Mm. And then I started reading Chew in Invincible digitally on my tablet, on my Fire tablet from Amazon. So I started reading that. And
we're not a sponsor, by the way.
No, they're not sponsoring.
We're open, though.
Right, but so like it just became natural for me then to be like, oh, this is, I'm gonna go like on a road trip. I'm gonna take my tablet with me, and then I can read Invincible and Chew while I'm on the road, don't have to take my trade
with me.
And damage that or individual books and get those fucked up somehow. It's those are my road books, you know, is my digital books. Mm. So for me, that transferred over that way, and that's why I like digital for that.
Your road book should be Libido, because you don't give a shit those get trash anyway.
It goes back to what I said about the three different types of the combo people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the digital people are the readers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they don't, I mean, maybe some of them need physical just because of the limit they...
And their age.
Yeah, their age. But for the most part, you know, they'll take a graphic novel, which, you know, is whatever price on Amazon.
Right.
Then you got the collector who will probably try to buy the nice omnibus edition, you know.
But we need the readers, because they're the readers who read and get rid of books that then the collector buys. That's the point. It's like a cycle, right?
It's a symbiotic
system. You need to have the reader in order for the collector to or the flipper to buy the reader's book to then put in his collection or sell. But that's why you get the books, because you get the book from the reader. Or people hate flippers, but a flipper is a guy that you're gonna find the book from. Because if we only had collectors, you would never be able to find the book.
Nope.
Because everyone would collect it. You have to have a flipper reader.
The flip side of that is flippers will prevent the reader and the collector from getting their book.
Yeah, sure. At some point, but then you have the '90s where they printed a million copies of every book, so it didn't make a difference.
Do you think they're going to start doing that more?
No, they're doing less print runs now.
Right. Do you think we're going to start seeing an increase on print?
I don't think so. I think it's less.
Well, no. Here, this is one of the things.
Well, we're getting
second,
third prints
now. What happened to vinyl, 12, 13 years ago? It's just maybe a little longer than that, right?
No, about 10 years.
Yeah, it just completely disappeared.
But now it's back.
Now it's like, you go to Amoeba Records, it's like the biggest section they got is vinyl. You know,
people
want,
And the funny part is, it's new vinyl.
They're
repressing the vinyl. Like, so you go to a place, and like my cousin comes over, and he brought me three records for my son. And I said, you realize these are brand new. What are you talking about? This is an old record. Yes, it's an old record that came back a long time ago. But this is a new printing.
Yeah.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
All right, so that is yes and no. The problem, the record industry is now moving into the model of comic books almost, where limited print run of audiophile vinyl is now a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you'll get like a $80 record that they only print 5,000 copies of.
Right.
And it goes out of print after a year, and it jumps from 80 to 200.
Yeah, Mondo does that.
Audio Analog Productions, the Blue Note Jazz records they reissued, those things go for ridiculous amounts of money.
But the problem is, a lot of times the record company will print, like, say, Guns N' Roses, right? Print the Guns N' Roses record again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find that, you know, 6 months later that you can't find that record anymore, right? But then you'll find the same record. The cover's a little different, but it's the same songs. They just rearranged it somehow, and they sell it again. It's just, they just keep doing it, right? It's like now, we don't have a million copies of a book, but now we have second, third, fourth, fifth print variants. So the way they do it, by not having a huge print run of the book, is they make a variant, four or five different variants, and then they make a second, third printing. If the first printing sold out, then they'll do a second, and then a third, and so on and so forth.
I don't think we're going to lose... comics. I mean, maybe for a little while, but they'll end up coming back because people want it. Right now, the bubble that people keep talking about.
There's no bubble.
I don't think it's true. I think there's a lot.
There's a bubble.
There is, but it's different this time.
No, but it's
a correction that's going to happen.
The thing with me is,
I don't even think so. There's so many people investing now. That's the thing.
Yeah.
90% of my customers, I'm going to say about 80% of my customers are investors. They got that, not even reading books.
Yeah.
And then the other part are readers and a couple kids here and there. That's it. I mean, everybody is speculating. Everybody's doing
it. COVID has caused speculation.
But no, but I'll tell you this.
I'll
tell you this. For every 20 guys that come in here to buy books on spec, at least four of those 20 guys end up becoming fans and readers.
Nah.
Like, I collected when I was younger, and then I stopped for a long period of time, and then I got back into it mainly as, you know, a form of getting big books to save, to be able to make some money.
Right.
And I read a book, and I bought the next one, and I was buying two because I was reading the story.
But you're investing.
I am, but what I'm saying is most guys who are investing, like guys who are buying big books, they're buying big books, but they're also reading. So there are just investors who just buy to invest.
Comics are Dogecoin or Bitcoin.
Yeah. But they will take a take a back seat for a small period of time and then kick back in again. They'll never. It's never a point where you're going to see this giant dumpster
full of comics. It's like Wolverine first. Yeah, first Wolverine is not going to be something that's going to be like a $500 book again for like a mid-grade.
Deadpool is sustainable.
But Kevin, what's a blue chip book?
How many of those are there? Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah.
I think the Deadpool one will go down.
That's what makes sense.
It will go down.
It'll go down, but nothing.
Right, but
everyone
says blue chip book. But what's a blue chip
book again?
To me, a blue chip book.
I understand that part, but Hulk One is a blue chip book to you. In 30 years, Fallout 4 will be a blue chip book.
Oh, I agree.
It's a blue chip book right now.
Right, I'm saying, but I'm saying
it's a modern day blue chip book.
Every so often, the new, like my son will have in his era of blue chip books and so on and so forth. So there's always going to be, and Hulk 1 will be, you know, super out of the atmosphere at those in those times.
Ultra Fallout 4 will eventually, is going to be this. I was telling Donald about this.
No. Julio has the best way to say it. Ultimate Fallout 4 will be the what?
Amazing Fantasy 15.
I was about to say that. Gen Z that's grown up right now, Miles Morales is their Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it now, because a lot of people that are in their 80s or whatever, Alan Scott is their Green Lantern for them. Precisely. And we're all like, it's Hal Jordan, obviously. And for Kyle Rayner, myself
Guy Gardner ever caught on.
That didn't fall for any of these Green Lanterns.
Yeah. Well, now that the show?
Yeah, now that the show.
I'm not very excited about the show.
But I can guarantee you that this comic book craze that we've been seeing would not have been heightened as high as it has been if it wasn't for the Marvel movies having succeeded.
A major factor, no doubt.
If they had been a giant turd on the wall and no one made any more Marvel movies, that'd be it. Right. We would all still be talking about Batman and the glory days of the Superman movies.
Right.
You know?
I mean, yeah.
Christopher Reeve's the man.
I mean,
dead, by the way.
Well, he's our Superman.
He
is. Still.
He's, yeah. Still. Yeah. He's the best Superman. One.
And then, like,
you know, Michael Keaton is still Batman.
Stop drinking, Kevin. Michael Keaton was okay.
What the Marvel movies did
Michael
right.
Michael Keaton voted number one in our podcast.
Of course he did, because a bunch of you guys are in there.
You guys? What are you trying to say?
You people?
You people?
Yes, right.
Wow.
You comic book people. Yeah.
Wow.
Christian Bale was a better
Batman.
You
people to a black man.
What Marvel did really smartly that helped comic book collectors is they tagged Thanos to the end of that Avengers movie.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
If they didn't say that this story is going to continue here, and there, and we're going to tease this villain... The comic book, the boom that happened, what's now going on 8 years, would not have been the same.
Well, even before that, in 2008 with Iron Man, when you had Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury make an appearance, that was also huge. Because he said there's a bigger world out there.
They didn't create the same
initiative. Yeah, true.
They didn't create the same acceleration that Thanos did.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos is the
took it to another level. No
doubt. That is the wave that the tide that brought all boats up.
But they were really smart on how they continued it on, how they continued the story on. They could have easily did the second movie and it was trash, and then it would just stop right there.
It was trash.
What movie?
Well, the original cut.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't. It was entertained. I was entertained.
It's Age of Ultron. It's not great.
I tell you what. If you go back now. And you look at Avengers Age of Ultron.
You see better connections now.
It's actually probably one of the better Avengers films, in my personal opinion. It is a great Avengers film. It should be much higher on everybody's list than what we give it credit for. And that's because it was either the chicken or the egg, and you didn't know which one it was because you couldn't see what was in front of you because they didn't show you what was going to happen in the future. And they were telling you in the film. So now that you've seen all that, if you go back and watch it, everything kind of falls into place and it makes much more sense. So it's a film that only makes sense once the other movies after it came out.
Correct.
That's the problem with that movie. Now it's a great movie. Now. That's the only reason why. And I think we're going to see Ultron again. Ultron will be back in the Marvel universe.
It's a better movie than years later when you look back.
Well, no.
Watchmen was a great movie when it came out.
Batman Begins, you watch it, and first time I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, it's a good movie, not great. But then watching the second and the third and seeing how important that first one was, it connected to all the storylines there. Dude, Batman Begins is a fantastic movie. It was a better movie for me the second, third time I watched it.
Watchmen is a great movie. It just wasn't a good kids movie.
Well, of course.
No,
of course. Of course.
Watchmen isn't a great kid's book.
I know, but I mean, you know, it. But it's like Deadpool, right? You know, Deadpool was a funny movie, but, you know, I was in the crowd, and it was like parents with their kids, and they're watching it, and you saw all the parents like kind of like not sure what to do, because you figure it's a superhero movie, and then they go there and you see, you know, what, you know, all the innuendos and all that stuff. You know, Batman Begins was by far, I thought, one of the better Batman movies out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really love that movie, and it took me a little while, because I mean, the second one was fantastic. The Dark Knight was a fantastic film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's one I've never seen. Like, I mean, I saw it once in the theaters, and I've never been compelled to want to see it again.
Oh man, it's so well done.
You just, know, I don't know if this is the case for you, but do you still have TV? You still have like cable or whatever?
No.
You not cut the cord yet?
I cut the cord a long time ago. I mean, I've got like Netflix, Disney Plus, you know, Amazon, really that kind of
Paramount
stuff.
Plus, yeah. HBO Plus.
Yeah, well, I get HBO right.
NBC, whatever.
Yeah. It
is. Peacock.
You know what's really good about that movie is it. Tarantino said this about Pulp Fiction. It's a movie you can come into at any point and just like, you know, oh, I'm gonna stick with this now. Come in the middle. You already seen it. You already know.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just ride it out. You know.
Yeah.
Because it works. The whole movie, I think, has a cohesiveness that works. The third one, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Donald watches whatever he can.
The third one is probably the weakest one, but it's still not a bad movie compared to all the other.
Donald watches whatever he can watch from his telescope in his neighbor's window.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm saving money.
Yeah. That's how I save money. Yeah.
Like he doesn't.
And you call him. He
got really good at reading lips.
Puts the phone close to.
No,
the
he got
TV.
Really good at reading lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we're gonna call it there for the evening. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being a part of this.
This was
a lot of fun.
Great discussion.
Yeah, and Kevin, for those that don't know, they can find our podcast. We do a live podcast every
Monday
usually.
At 7:30 p.m. Pacific.
On YouTube
time.
Live, under the page Rumblespoon Productions. You can find us there. You can also find our audio podcast, which you're listening to right now. You can find us on
Spotify,
yeah.
Spreaker,
you can find us there.
Stitcher,
yeah, you can find us on Stitcher
Apple?
Still. Apple Podcasts, yes.
Google? Spotify?
Yeah, both of those. iHeartRadio, you can find us on there.
Radio.
We are on just a host of pretty much anything and everywhere that you can find us. We do have a lovely new sponsor now. We have a couple of them. We have Half's Hot Sauce, which is a great hot sauce company based out of Ohio. And we have Splattered Frog Brewing, which is a great brewery based out of Texas, the great state of Texas.
Lone Star State.
Well, no, we're excited about getting to try some of that.
Yeah, right. Hot
sauce
and beer. Can't go wrong.
Hot
sauce and beer.
Yeah,
so thank you, everybody.
Have something to wash it down with.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in, everybody. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, maybe we will see you actually here.
At the wonderful, marvelous, delicious, righteous, and wondrous Comic Book Shop.
Bye.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.